You, as an acoustic guitar geek, are on a constant tonal quest. A search for the most satisfactory of sounds. A chance to have a once-in-a-lifetime encounter with an instrument that has transcendental tonal and aesthetic qualities. Well, today I'm going to share with you eight luthiers who are building those very life-altering instruments. Hey, TAC family, welcome to episode 181 of the Acoustic Tuesday Show. This show is all about bringing fun, focus, and progress to your guitar journey through my weekly Guitar Geek list, plus success stories from your fellow TAC members. Have you ever maintained a consistent guitar playing and practice schedule, only to feel like you aren't making any progress or experiencing any gains? Well, TAC member Mark J felt the exact same way, and today you're going to find out what he did to change his entire outlook on guitar playing and bring the fun back into his guitar routine. You're going to meet Mark here in just a little bit and find out what exactly he did, plus you're going to get your weekly dose of acoustic guitar news you can use, which today finds us going to Las Vegas. Yes, indeed, it's going to be warm, it's going to be sunny, we might even hit the casino for a little bit. Plus, I've got some really interesting news nuggets that I found on Instagram that involve two acoustic guitar greats from very different generations with the same exact message. You're going to learn about all those goodies here in just a little bit, but first, let's dig into eight life-changing luthiers. In my opinion, we're experiencing another golden age of luthery. There are so many guitar builders building truly life-altering instruments, and since that's the case, I figured for the show it would be best to narrow our focus to one type of guitar. So the luthiers that I'll be introducing you to today build modern acoustic guitars. What does that mean? Well, these guitar builders don't build Martin or Gibson copies. They build guitars that are unique in and of their own right. The Martin and Gibson copies, that's for another show down the road. So since we're now on the same page, let's go ahead and dig into the luthiers. The first luthier on my list is Irvin Somogyi, and I wanted to start with him because he is known as the father of the modern acoustic guitar. From the guitars that he actually builds to his overall building philosophy. In fact, Irvin Somogyi actually trained quite a few luthiers on my list, so I figured it'd be best to start with Irvin. Now, you're probably wondering, what do his guitars look like and how do they sound? Well, they are truly one of a kind. Each one is a work of art, both visually and tonally. And since we don't often hear or even see these guitars, I found a great sample of one. Michael Watts is playing the Somogyi Diospyros model. I believe I said that correctly. Whether I pronounced it correctly or not, you simply have to hear this instrument. It is truly captivating. Here's Michael. The next life-altering luthier that you need to be acquainted with is Mario Beauregard. He builds guitars near Montreal, Quebec, and to the best of my knowledge, he was one of Irvin Somogyi's very early students. And holy smokes, are his guitars amazing. The first time I heard about Beauregard guitars was through Antoine Dufour. And about 2 or 3 years ago, when he played the Acoustic Life Festival, I actually had a chance to play one of Antoine's guitars. It was my first experience with a Beauregard guitar. And my mind was sufficiently blown. The clarity, the precision, the balance, the responsiveness was truly amazing. And rather than me talk about how the guitar sounds, I want you to hear a Beauregard. And what better person to expose you to a Beauregard guitar than Antoine Dufour? Here he is. Now you absolutely must check out that entire video because Antoine doesn't only play one Beauregard, he actually plays three. So you get a full sampling of what these guitars are capable of. Now, just because I found this next video and I think this is an artist you need to know about, I found a clip of Dustin Furlow playing a Beauregard and, well, Dustin is just one of those artists that he flies under the radar, you need to know about him, Plus, he's playing a fine example of a Beauregard. Here he is. Head to Redwood City, California to visit this next luthier, and this luthier was also an apprentice to Irvin Somogyi. I'd like to introduce you to Michi Matsuda, and if you want your brain completely exploded, Michi is a luthier that you need to know. You need to go to his website and you need to look at the photo gallery because Michi builds mind-bending instruments. You look at these instruments and you think to yourself, how could somebody come up with this? But he does, and he does it so incredibly well. So he has this wonderful knack for thinking well outside the box, but his steel string acoustic guitars are tonal treasures. They're truly amazing. And I found a clip brought to you by the North American Guitar, and it's of Stuart Ryan playing a Michi Matsuda guitar. And you gotta listen to this with headphones because the clarity, the sustain, the brilliance of this guitar is one for the history books. Let's check it out. We're gonna head on over to Queen Creek, Arizona to visit our next life-changing luthier, Jason Kostel. Jason also apprenticed under Irvin Somogyi, and that is on full display in his work. As a guitar geek, if you get a chance to hear or even lay your eyes upon a Kostel guitar, it's an awesome experience. If you get a chance to play a Kostel guitar, it is a pinnacle guitar geek moment. These guitars are mind-blowingly awesome. And I also have to mention this. Jason Kostel is extremely active in the Guitars for Vets organization. In fact, he was just named to the Guitars for Vets board. So not only does he build these insane guitars, he actually is involved in an incredibly worthy cause. All that being said, let's go ahead and listen to a Kostel guitar. And my good buddy Matt Chalka of Eddie's Guitars is a fine player, and he just so happens to have a great example of a Kostel guitar. Let's have a listen. Across the pond we go to visit our next life-altering luthier. And I am truly humbled and honored to call this individual a very good friend of mine. Yes, we're going to North Yorkshire, England to visit Tom Sands. And yes, Tom Sands was also an apprentice to Irvin Somogyi. Tom is a Tonewood tweaker, an ultimate guitar geek, somebody who freely offers incredible information to the guitar geek community at large. I've recommended his YouTube channel countless times, and I still recommend his YouTube channel because he talks about Tonewood, he talks about luthery, he talks about tools, and he introduces the amazing guitars that he makes with a story behind each. Each one is unique in and of their own right, and his aesthetic, to me, is so classy. He uses copper next to wood, so he has this kind of hard metal versus this organic material, and it's not really a versus situation. The contrasting of the two materials is so classy, and his instruments are, to me, a gold standard in luthery, so much so that I've commissioned two instruments by him to be delivered at a much later date, but man, am I excited, and I'm so truly inspired by his work, and he absolutely needed to be on this list because I do believe his instruments are life-altering. And what better person to put his instruments on display than a wonderful fingerstyle guitarist, somebody who I truly look up to, Will McNichol. Let's go ahead and have a listen to a Tom Sands guitar in the hands of Will McNichol. Thank you. across the pond we go, to the Great White North, specifically Montreal, Quebec, to visit Michael Greenfield. I first heard about Greenfield guitars because of Andy McKee. I had watched a video of Andy playing and I was mesmerized by the way he plays, but also the tone that he was getting out of the guitar. I look at the headstock, it's got a G on it. I don't know what that is. I did my digging, turns out it was a Greenfield guitar. Michael Greenfield makes gold standard guitars. They're the type of acoustic guitars that when you hear them, your hair stands up on end. They're the type of acoustic guitars that quickly become the standard to which you compare every other acoustic guitar. So let's go ahead and hear one. Yes, this is Andy McKee playing a Greenfield acoustic guitar, and just strap yourself in because you are in for a true acoustic experience. Just 30 miles away from where I sit right this very second is where our next life-changing luthier calls home. Gage Halland of Halland Guitars. Now, Gage is one of the most nice, humble people I have ever met. And I actually met Gage because of Tom Sands. And in fact, last summer, Gage came by my house, brought a guitar, and we just sat around and shot the breeze for 2 hours. Played guitar, talked about life, talked about guitars. This was the first time I had ever met Gage, and it was literally like having an old friend over at the house. Now, let's talk about Gage's luthery. His instruments are something to behold. I had looked at pictures of Gage's instruments for quite some time, but to actually sit down and play one of his guitars was a transcendental experience. Now, Gage actually studied under Michael Greenfield, and it certainly shows in his work. But Gage has his own twist. He has his own unique voice, his own unique approach to building acoustic guitars. And it was fascinating to talk to him about that. Now, you might be wondering, what do his guitars sound like? Well, what better person to turn to than one of his artists, an artist that plays Gage Halland's guitars, and that is Amber Russell of Portland, Oregon. So let's go ahead and listen to Amber play a Halland guitar. Final life-changing modern acoustic guitar builder that you need to know about is Dion James of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I was first introduced to Dion by way of Tom Sands and an interview that they did. And when I started checking out Dion's work, I was amazed by its simplicity, its elegance, its class. Dion has this knack for really just allowing the materials to speak for themselves. And you'll see that when you look at the guitars that he builds. And you'll hear that when you listen to the guitars that he builds. In fact, his guitars have this wonderful, lush quality where the overtones are present, but they don't overtake the instrument. And I found a fine example. It's a video from the North American Guitar with Lance Allen playing one of Dion James' guitars. Let's go ahead and have a listen. I know for a fact there's more than 8 life-changing luthiers that are building modern acoustic guitars. So Guitar Geeks, it's your chance to speak up. In the comments below, let me know of a luthier who's building a modern style acoustic guitar that's made an impression on you. I can't wait to see what you come up with, and more importantly, I can't wait to see a list of luthiers for all of us Guitar Geeks to check out. I want to shift gears and ask you a question. What happens when you have a bad week of playing guitar? You know, one of those weeks where you have this big list of goals and things you want to accomplish, and you just don't seem to get anything done. And you feel, well, downright bad about it. Well, I'd like to introduce you to TAC member Mark J. He had one of those very weeks, but he pulled through. And he actually posted in the TAC community about it. Let me go ahead and read you what he wrote. For me, last week just wasn't a great week on guitar. Still good, but not great. I had loaded myself down with too much guitar work, and my left thumb joints were really barking at me from bar chords. Not complaining about it because I was still getting to play my guitar, but the fun level was losing its steam a little. My small win was that I made myself stop, regather my thoughts, remember just how much I enjoy it when my guitar is really singing, and refocus on the bigger picture, you know, the long haul, and to enjoy the journey rather than focus on the destination. What a difference it has made. This week's practices have been much more enjoyable for me. Hand movement has been easier somehow, coordination better somehow, muscle memory also, and the fun is back. Maybe it's normal to go through where I was last week as a part of learning. Maybe there are others having those kinds of issues who can maybe try what I did to quote-unquote snap out of it. And if it helps them, then we all win. I really appreciate Mark sharing this because I know for a fact at one point on every Guitar Geek's journey, this happens. You line up a bunch of things to work on, guitar playing starts to feel like a chore, and pretty soon all the fun gets sucked out of it. It's a really crummy feeling, and Mark did exactly what I would recommend. Stop yourself, regather your thoughts, and remind yourself that every day with your guitar should be fun. Focus on enjoying the journey. Don't get fixated on this magical destination. I know that's super cliche to say, enjoy the journey, don't focus on the destination, but it is so fundamentally true. Remind yourself, every day with your guitar should be fun. Instead of looking at a laundry list of things to do, trim that down to one thing and focus on that one thing for that one day. And pull a small win out of it, just like Mark did here. His small win was the fact that he stopped and took inventory of what was going on and reminded himself, oh yeah, this is supposed to be fun. And lo and behold, it worked for him, and I know for a fact it'll work for you as well. Now I want to take a second and visit Earl Carr in Lansing, Michigan. He's got a guitarsenal for us guitar geeks to lay our eyes upon. Here's what's in his guitarsenal. From left to right, top to bottom, a Floria Midnight upright bass, a 1951 National 1145 with the body being made in the Kalamazoo Gibson factory, a 1944 Banner Gibson Southern Jumbo, a 1944 Banner Gibson LG2, a 2017 Bourgeois Vintage D, a 2019 McPherson Sable, an Epiphone Dove used as his wedding guest book this last November, congratulations by the way, a gold tone mandocello, a Trinity College octave mandolin, an Eastman MD315 mandolin, a 1930 to 1932 Kel Croydon KK20, which was made in the Kalamazoo Gibson factory, a Kala tenor guitar, an Alvarez baritone guitar, a Washburn classical, next a Dean acoustic electric banjo, and a 70s K tenor banjo, and then a Squire bullet strap, a Rogue lap steel, a Samick Greg Bennett Les Paul copy, a 2001 Fender American Tele, a 2019 Gibson Les Paul Jr. Tribute double cutaway, a 2019 Heritage H535 Standard, a Koistinen Cantelay, I'm not exactly sure if I said that correct, a 1965 Gibson ES120T, a Sterling sub-bass, a Kala soprano uke, a Squire 5-string jazz bass, and finally, a Bahraini oud. I hope I said that correctly, but wow, that's a hell of a guitarsenal from Earl. Earl, thank you so much for sharing. And if you're sitting there thinking, you know what? It's time. Today is the day I'm going to share my guitarsenal on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Well, I'm asking you to please do so. All you have to do is follow these three simple steps. Number one, go to acoustictuesday.store and pick out your favorite guitarsenal shirt. Step number two, once that shirt arrives, put it on and take a picture amongst all of your guitars. And step number three, please submit that picture at acousticlife.tv. Once you're there, click on the submit link in the top menu and you can go ahead and upload your picture and tell your story just like Earl did. Now please imagine something. We're sitting in a room, we're playing Uno, and I throw down the reverse card. Yes, that's exactly what we're gonna do. We're gonna reverse time and head back to episode 178, where I talked about 10 must-hear Celtic guitarists. There were some great comments on that show, and I wanted to feature a few. The first one is actually a double comment. I don't know if that's a thing, but I just created it, so it's a double comment. It was along the same lines, so I figured I could lump them together. The first comment comes from R.R. Stout, and they say this: yo, Tony, check out Thomas Lieb. George Loudon actually makes a Thomas Lieb model. He's pretty badass. Followed by the next comment from P2US1000, Thomas Lieb. He's an incredible player who plays Loudon guitars. Something makes me feel like RR Stout and P2 US 1000, they're in cahoots. Because apparently Thomas Lieb is a player that I must check out, and I indeed will. Thank you very much for the recommendation, you two. I don't know if you're in cahoots, but if you are, you done well, because you got featured on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Our next comment comes from Robert Hogg, and he says this: having grown up in the Kalamazoo area, I too am a little torn on the idea of turning the old Gibson Guitar Factory into a hotel. I was fortunate enough to tour the factory on a field trip back in the 70s when I was a middle school student. One of the most memorable experiences from my childhood. It will be hard to see it modernized, but on the other hand, the old factory is definitely in need of repairs. This may be the only way to save what remains. This is interesting perspective because Robert clearly has a connection to the factory. I mean, he went there on a middle school field trip. First of all, I gotta ask if any of my middle school teachers are watching, why didn't I get a chance to go on a field trip to the Kalamazoo Gibson factory? That wasn't in our curriculum, but it should have been. Robert, thanks so much for both your perspective and your comment. I think it is one of those things that's a little bittersweet because you don't wanna see this music industry icon be torn down in an effort of progress, but maybe that progress is the only way to save it in a way and almost save its memory. I don't know, but again, Robert, thanks so much for your comment and your perspective, obviously because you're directly tied to it. The next comment comes from Rich Johnson, and he says this: you digging this young group we have on the Hawks right now? Center will be interesting with the return of Doc. Also, Kaner for captain? I'll be honest, I was expecting early, late 90s, early 2000s performance this season after the losses, but wow, the youngsters are killing it. Honestly, if this is the coach's doing, he has earned some respect from me, who has disliked him from day one. Well, Rich, I have to say, I'm impressed. You know, at the time I'm filming this, the Hawks are going through a little bit of a slide, but I have to say, I know this isn't directly guitar talk, but I'm a hockey fan, and I just have to entertain this question. I'm a huge fan of the young roster. I think the prospect of Kirby Doc coming back for later in the season is huge. Kaner for captain, yeah, he just crossed the 1,000-game threshold. A huge congratulations to Patrick Kane, one of the best, if not the best, U.S.-born hockey player. And then what was the last question here? Oh, if this is the coach is doing. You know, this is interesting because Chicago sports, we are passionate people. And whenever a change happens, we don't like it. Especially when we got rid of a proven Stanley Cup winning coach, Joel Quenneville, who's now in Florida. They're kicking butt. Anyways, Jeremy Colleton, young coach, he's doing great. And if this is his doing, I mean, he's playing his cards right and he's kicking butt. So I'm all in for the Hawks this year. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I really do think they're going to make the playoffs. If you don't think so, let's argue in the comments. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to argue with anybody. But this is a fun hockey season to watch because it is so different. And it really gives you an intimate knowledge of the teams within your division because all the teams are kind of in these isolated divisions. Anyways, enough hockey talk. Thanks so much for the comment there, Rich. I'm glad to see the Hawks are kind of, well, I guess turning things around from where they started at the beginning of the season. The next comment comes from Abraham Tomahawk, and they say this: one awesome Celtic guitarist would be Pierre Bensusan. Also, as you appear to have done already, check out music from the Celtic Connections Festival, which is shown on BBC Alba, Scotland's Gaelic language TV station. What a great recommendation. And one, you know, this is so funny because I've known about Pierre Bensusan for a while, and I've listened to his music, but for some reason, it's never clicked that he was a Celtic guitarist. And then I'm reading your comment, and I'm like, duh. Why didn't he make my list? he's actually a phenomenal guitar player and one that I really enjoy. Also, thanks for the tip on the Celtic Connections Festival. Very cool stuff. Really appreciate that. Next comment comes from Lucky Child, and they say this: bro, are you psychic? Yesterday, my best friend was just like, dude, you need to listen to Celtic music. I think this might be a sign. This was such an awesome comment to read. Number one, it just made me laugh. Number two, I enjoy discovering new music. It's one of my favorite things to do. My wife, Whitney, goes a little bit crazy because starting Friday and then Saturday and Sunday, I'm on the hunt for new music, new releases, or new artists that are older, but I just haven't heard them yet. So I love discovering new music, and I'm so pumped that the show helped you discover some new music to listen to as well. So cheers for discovering new music. I really dig it, and thanks for the comment. I really, really do appreciate it. The final set of comments are conflicting. They're conflicting comments, and ones that I read, and I can't even weigh in on, but it's public opinion, so I wanted to share it with you. The first comment comes from Omar's Acoustic Highway. Shaving a haircut might be an excellent idea. Noted. The following comment immediately after that comes from Tex Haynes. Don't get rid of the beard. Your young ones won't recognize you. From experience. So Omar, while I appreciate your observation and your encouragement to get a shave and a haircut, I simply can't do that because I don't want to damage young Emerson. He has this image of a bearded dad. And a long-haired dad. I can't do it. I can't do it to him. So I blame it on Emerson. He's the reason why I can't do it. Actually, wasn't planning on doing it anyway. But everybody, I do appreciate your comments so much. What a treat to get to know you through those comments. And to just, again, have such amazing discussions, great questions. And just, man, I love this community so much. And I'm so happy that you're a part of it. On to the final segment of the show. And yes, indeed, that is acoustic news you can use. It is my obligation, it's my responsibility as an acoustic guitar geek to help keep you on the front lines of news within the acoustic guitar industry. But you know what? I'm taking this week off. Kinda. I've actually got two interesting news nuggets for you. But first, I'm gonna just kick you over to Las Vegas. I'm gonna sit back with my cup of coffee and I'm gonna watch the news. Yeah, with you, because it's brought to us by Heartbreaker Guitars. I'm gonna kick things over to Carly at Heartbreaker Guitars. She's got three guitars that she is dying to tell you about. So, with that being said, take it away, Carly.
Thanks, Tony, and hello, Acoustic Tuesday friends, and welcome to the latest edition of the Acoustic Tuesday newscast. My name's Carly, and we are in the Heartbreaker Lounge in Las Vegas, Nevada. Brendan's off today, but I am joined by my sleepy pal, Toby the Beagle. Okay, Tony, I have three incredible stories you are gonna wanna hear. First on deck from Bourgeois Guitars, we have the Piccolo Parlor made with the world famous The Tree Mahogany. Second up from McPherson Guitars, we have their brand new Blackout Edition Sable Carbon Fibers. And lastly, we're gonna bring you a story from Loudon Guitars and the new Rosewood Sheeran Editions. Okay, Acoustic Tuesday friends, check this out from Bourgeois Guitars. This is the Piccolo Parlor made with The Tree Mahogany. Now, we're gonna go ahead and turn this around. Look at this. Now, some of you are already familiar with the story of The Tree. For those of you that aren't, we're gonna make a quick recap so that you can see just how incredible and rare this wood is. So, in the mid to late 60s, there was a tree in the rainforest of South America. A group of loggers went and found it, tried to excavate it, tried to cut it down, and they couldn't do it. For weeks they tried. Finally, at the end of a several week period, the tree did fall, but not in the way they expected. Instead of falling forward so that they could take the pieces out, the tree actually fell backwards into a ravine where they couldn't get to it. Fast forward to the late 70s, early 80s, another group came, different tools, different technique, and they were able to separate it into pieces and get it out of that ravine. Now we have The Tree. What makes this so special? Well, it turns out that that particular tree in mahogany had a genetic difference that made the figuring very specific. So you've heard of things like flame, quilting. Well, this wood has what they call blistering. It's some of the most gorgeous mahogany that you've probably ever seen. This tree is the only one to have ever had it, and we haven't ever found anything like it since. Let's give it a listen. Thank you. Dana Bourgeois noted that he's had this particular set of the tree mahogany in his shop for so long that he doesn't even remember. He's been saving it for something extra special, which turned out to be this Piccolo Parlor. Next up for our stories, we have the McPherson Carbon Fiber Sable Blackout Edition. All right, now, Tony, the one in my hand is the basket weave finish, but this blackout edition is available in all three finishes, so basket weave, the original, and the honeycomb. So let's go into what makes this blackout edition special. First, we're going to go up to the McPherson logo here, all black, turning it around. Now, these are GoToe 510 tuners in this really cool gunmetal finish. Back to the front. The nut, as usual, is black. Bridge is black. The offset sound hole also surrounded by black. Lastly, for cool appointments on this, we can see that the fretboard is completely black except for this one little wave inlay. Now, one more thing before we end. Strap button. Guess what? Black also. Now, does this change the tone at all? No. But for only $150 more, you get all of these really fun embellishments. Basically, what Matt McPherson did was make a cool guitar even cooler. Let's give it a listen. Lastly, for this edition of the Acoustic Tuesday newscast, we have the Loudon Sheeran Indian Rosewood Edition for 2021. Ed Sheeran and Loudon Guitars released their collaboration for the first time at the 2019 NAMM. It was received with rave reviews, and for 2021, they've released the brand new Indian Rosewood Edition. For 2021, Loudon and Ed Sheeran have again released two different sizes. The first one is an S size, which is based on the traditional Loudon S guitar. The second is a W size, which is based on the Loudon Wee, which is the size Ed Sheeran generally plays on stage. Why don't we have a quick listen to the W? Let's take a listen to the S model. Thank you. pricing on these Loudon Sheeran 2021 Indian Rosewood Editions range between $900 to $1,300, depending on specs. All right, everyone, that's a wrap. Thank you, Tony, and thank you, Acoustic Tuesday friends. This has been Carly and the Heartbreaker Lounge with my pal Toby. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll see you next time.
Huge thanks to Carly from Heartbreaker Guitars for helping us discover some new and cool happenings within the industry. I have to say, I love the McPherson Sable. I've had one for, I want to say, the better part of a year now, and that guitar continually blows me away. From the tone, to the feel, to the playability, to the fact that I had it out in the same room as my wood stove, and that thing never changed tuning. It never went out of tune. I never had to worry about it. And now the fact that they're offering a blackout model, I mean, black is my favorite color. I know you color purists out there are saying, black isn't technically a color. In my world, it is. I wear black t-shirts and blue jeans. That's all I wear. Anyways, the McPherson blackout, the McPherson Sable with the blackout option, I think is darn right cool. I don't like gold hardware, but if I had my druthers and I had to pick, it'd be the blackout version. So again, huge thanks to Carly and the folks at Heartbreaker Guitars. I had a chance to actually meet Carly in person when I went to Vegas some years ago, and she is a guitar geek. In fact, the whole crew at Heartbreaker Guitars are guitar geeks, and it's just so cool to have them as part of the Acoustic Tuesday family. So thanks again. I've got two more news nuggets for you, and these are really important. You know, I don't talk about it that often, but I think mental health is one of those things that is starting to be talked about more. And I found a post on Instagram from Acoustic Tuesday family member John Gom, and the post really hit me, and I wanted to share it with you because it came from kind of mental health awareness, that perspective, but it also sheds light on something that's really important for us acoustic guitar geeks, something that we should hold so incredibly dear. And the follow-up story is proof that what John's saying is true. We'll get there. It has to do with Neil Young and some chickens. Hold on, let me read John Gom's Instagram post. I'm just gonna grab my phone here and read it. I've been hiding away, battling with my mental health recently, and I always feel I should be out in the world more, trying to be of more value. But I'm learning that actually it's how you value yourself that matters in the end. That's what will save you. I imagine I'm the last person on Earth, the last one in the universe. Would I matter less then because there's nobody there to see me or hear me? No, I'd be infinitely important. I'd be the last being consciously experiencing the universe. And when I died, that would end. I guess that's what I mean about value. I hope this idea helps someone. You know, I read this post actually a couple of times because it got me thinking, you know, as musicians, as guitar geeks, as anybody who plays the guitar, I think so often we start looking for this external validation of, am I good enough? Am I playing the right things? Do you like what I play? When in actuality, if you like what you play, that should simply be enough. Easier said than done, because as you see, musicians of all kinds and types struggle with that. But I just thought that was a very thought-provoking post, and one that came from, again, the mental health kind of awareness world, but also touched on that topic of, you know, if you like it and you think it sounds good, it is. So value yourself and value your own opinion of what you're doing. Don't always look to others for validation. I'm not saying that, you know, people clapping or saying good job, I'm not saying that doesn't feel good, but ultimately make sure you feel good about what you're creating, whether you're brand new to guitar or you've been playing forever. Which brings me to the final news nugget, because Neil Young is embodying this. Neil Young writes music because he likes it. Neil Young plays music because he likes it. Neil Young doesn't even have to have a crowd to play music to. In fact, I found footage of Neil Young playing music to his chickens, which proves he values what he's doing because he likes it. He's not looking for the approval of the chickens. Here it is.
Homegrown is the red chicken. Homegrown is the plant that bell and let it ring.
I thought that to be a wonderful tie-in. Yes, it's in the funny category, but it just goes to show, you could be playing to chickens, and as long as you value what you're doing, as long as you enjoy what you're doing, it doesn't matter, especially when it comes to music and guitar playing. And on that note, I think it's a great time to wrap up the Acoustic Tuesday show. But first, let's take a sneak peek into next week. Next week, we'll be having a guitar technique tune-up. Yes, we're going to look at fretting, and we're going to make sure that you're doing it correctly. Make sure that you're checking all of the boxes when you simply fret your guitar. There's more to it than you might actually realize. Yes, that's all happening next week on the Acoustic Tuesday show. And remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. here on YouTube. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I want to thank you for being a guitar geek. And remember, your guitar progress, your guitar success, however you define it, is directly related to your guitar routine. So make sure to invest the time in your guitar routine and have fun every day you play. Thanks again for joining me today. Cheers to you, Guitar Geeks Unite.